South Korea's Navy fired warning shots at a North Korean fishing boat today. It's the second such encounter this week. Each country accuses the other of crossing the Korean Peninsula's disputed Western Sea border. North Korean officials say the South is escalating tensions by sending warships into northern waters. North Korea warns that any military clash between the two countries may lead to war. South Korea denies sending warships to the north. These encounters come as the U.S. works to convince North Korea to abandon its suspected nuclear weapons program. President Bush said in May that he would take tough measures against North Korea if it escalates tensions on the peninsula. A six-member congressional team is flying home from a visit to North and South Korea. Pennsylvania Republican Kurt Weldon, who led the group, says North Korean leaders told them that their country has nuclear weapons and plans for more. U.S. officials say they don't know whether to believe this claim. One reason is that few Americans have ever been allowed to visit North Korea's nuclear facilities. NPR's David Kestenbaum spoke with one who has.
The U.S. government took away the photos Robert Alvarez snapped of the North Korean reactor itself, but they let him keep the others.
There I am, standing next to the helicopter that brought us in, and you can see this is a 1960s vintage machine here.
The year was 1994. This was the first U.S. delegation to visit the nuclear facility at Yongbyon, and Alvarez, who worked at the Department of Energy, was the highest-ranking official on the trip. The helicopter, like everything he encountered, was old. It was as if he'd stepped into a time warp. North Korea had just agreed to shut down its reactor in exchange for aid, and Alvarez's team had been sent to seal the fuel rods that had been used in the reactor. But in the back of his mind was another question. Does North Korea already have a nuclear weapon? This was North Korea's only working nuclear plant. Yes, it produced a little electricity, but nearby was a reprocessing plant for extracting weapons-grade plutonium from the fuel rods after they'd been through the reactor. The best U.S. intelligence at the time, he says, was about what it appears to be today. No one knows. Alvarez witnessed one reason for that uncertainty. The equipment was primitive. In the control room, he saw vacuum tubes like you find in old radios. The reactor itself was a copy of an old British reactor from 1955 and seemed to have been having troubles.
I recall standing in front of the reactor building itself, and I noticed there was fresh gravel beneath us. And at DOE nuclear weapons sites, fresh gravel is usually put down when there is a radioactive spill or some sort of radioactive contamination. So recognizing this, I turned on I had a little radiation detection instrument called a chirper, just out of curiosity to see if there were any radioactive hot spots. And as my chirper started to increase the frequency of its noise, a North Korean guard went up to me with his hand on his pistol and pointed for me to return to the group.
An old stooped man with a 1950s Geiger counter checked their feet for radiation. Alvarez's team looked at their own instruments and realized the man's counter was broken. The team was escorted into an unlit cinder block building. There, in a concrete pool filled with water, were the fuel rods that had been through the reactor. The water was covered with algae. Alvarez says some 700 of the fuel rods they found were damaged.
When you have 700 damaged rods, it indicated to us that this reactor was having fuel element failures inside the reactor. They'd have to shut the reactor down, take this stuff out, clean up the mess, and sometimes these problems could lead to the closure of the reactor for weeks or months.
Given what you saw, at the time, did you think North Korea could have made a nuclear weapon?
Well, I was skeptical. I just saw things that struck me as mighty primitive. I mean, it's one thing to have a reactor. It's another thing to make it work successfully. It's another thing to be able to run a reprocessing plant of the scale that they had built. And the other thing to keep in mind is that this reprocessing plant never, ever went into full operation. It was pretty much stopped before it completed its pre-operational activities.
When Alvarez got home, he had a completely contradictory thought. North Korea's problems could eventually be solved by simply reading engineering manuals for nuclear power plants.
My first impression coming back from North Korea was how easy it is for a country to make nuclear weapons out of the open literature. That was, for me, a startling revelation.
Today, North Korea officially says it has only separated 100 grams of plutonium from its spent fuel rods. It would need 50 times that to make a bomb. The International Atomic Energy Agency says this is not the whole truth. In the early 1990s, inspectors found traces of radioactive material that led them to conclude that North Korea had extracted more plutonium than it declared. In unclassified reports, the CIA estimates that North Korea has probably separated enough plutonium for at least one and possibly two nuclear weapons. The one clear sign, of course, would be a nuclear test. But Jonathan Pollack, a North Korea expert at the Naval War College, says even if North Korea has a nuclear device, it may prefer to lie low.
If we are sufficiently persuaded that there might be such a possibility, whether they have it or not almost becomes immaterial. It becomes a question of whether our behavior is being affected by what we judge they may or may not have. And I know I don't want to kind of get tied in knots about all of this, but that's an ambiguity here, and they have substantial incentives to retain that kind of ambiguity.
Last December, North Korea announced it would be restarting its reactor and its plutonium reprocessing plant. A commercial satellite picture taken a few months later shows steam emerging from the cooling tower of the reactor. The reprocessing plant, for the moment, looks quiet. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.
Photos of Robert Alvarez's visit to North Korea are at npr.org. World leaders in Evian, France today concluded the G8 summit with a closing statement that addressed issues in North Korea, Iran, and Iraq. Leaders of the seven wealthiest countries in Russia said the time has come to build peace and reconstruct Iraq. The pledge brings together countries that had been divided over the war in Iraq. The G8 leaders also said they would not allow Iran and North Korea to acquire nuclear weapons, though it was not clear whether the G8 leaders would accept force as a method of deterrence. The statement closely resembles President Bush's stance on Iran and North Korea. However, he was not at the summit when the statement was released. The president left yesterday to meet with Mideast leaders in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt.